Approaching on a 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. On at 15 seconds, guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sinead Willihan, and we are here on July 24th, 2021, with another fantastic interview with you about Chinese ufology. Sorry, for you about Chinese ufology. There's a tremendous amount happening in China with UFOs, with the Chinese government, and activity on the ground, like at an extraordinary level. So there is a great deal going on over there, and that news and information is starting to trickle out into the Western world so that we can share this exciting information with you. Even more, we're seeing more of a connection between the existing paranormal communities, UFO communities around the world, and the Chinese community, which may not always happen because China is a very tightly controlled country, doesn't always get to intermingle with the rest of the world when they want to or the way they want to. So this is a very unique and special situation. And we have with us Mr. Grant, who is my boss. And also, we will be putting this interview up on his YouTube channel and his Facebook page. Grant, how are you tonight?
Just fine, Sinead. Thank you for again joining me and opening up the conversation to the world here.
Well, I would not be doing it without you, of course. And we're very lucky to be talking to Amy, who is here with us this evening. We met her because, well, actually, it took a while for us to figure out that she has two different names. So we weren't sure at first that she was the same person and then realized that she was. So we met her recently in person when she did an absolutely phenomenal job translating an interview that we did with Jinping Zhang, who is a very famous Chinese ufologist. And so, Amy, we are just delighted to have you here because you yourself are a rising leader in the field, and you have a wonderful spiritual component about your approach, which is a major part of the reason we want to speak to you tonight. So really, it's a very special thing for us to have you here. Thank you so much for being here with us, and welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. My honor.
Wonderful. So I thought, Amy, that what we could do is, just because you are a rising personality in the field, and I just want to make sure that people have a fuller understanding of who you are, what you're doing. And you have a YouTube channel called Cosmic Veil. So I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that you've got this YouTube channel. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the kinds of videos that you're posting there, because your audience is growing. And it seems like you're posting some very interesting information and very interesting takes on what's going on. So could you tell us a bit about your YouTube channel and what kind of material you've been posting for your audience there?
Oh, okay. So hi, my name is Amy. So I just started my YouTube recently. Just one video posted there, but soon I'm gonna release another two videos there. So on my YouTube channel, I'm going to talk about things related to UFO disclosure, of course, not necessarily just happening in China, because information is quite limited there, so all around the world. But I think the majority of the information will be on ESP, and also some interesting stories happen in China, whether it's related to ESP or UFOs. And also, I'm going to talk about something that seems to be like about traditional Chinese culture, but actually there's a very major spiritual part in the traditional Chinese culture. I think I'm gonna talk about details later, because that's a reason for me making that strategy to talk about traditional Chinese culture. It's safer, and also there's a very major spiritual part in traditional Chinese culture, and the Chinese government can kind of supported that. So it's a very clever strategy, I think, if yes. I do that. So it will cover a lot of things, including human history. But I will definitely add some Chinese part to that. So because most people, they have enough information from the West world, Western countries. But about China, they don't really know much, especially when it comes to disclosure, right? And also about traditional Chinese culture and how can that contribute to the disclosure to spirituality. So that's basically what I'm going to talk about.
Wow. Well, Amy, I am wowed already because I love it so much that you're including traditional Chinese culture. That is so amazing because you're right. I mean, not as many people know about it anymore because of the fact that China has been so different for so many decades now, but it had this incredible spiritual history and the temples and just the culture of that time was really infused with spirituality in so many ways that it's unfortunate that we don't have so much opportunity to witness it or to learn about it now. So it's amazing that you're bringing that in for just that alone, but also so interesting that you're combining it with UFOs and with the paranormal. You know, traditional Chinese history and the paranormal are not two things that you would normally combine in one sentence. So could you elaborate that on that a little bit more? I know we can touch more deeply on the spiritual aspect later, but I would love to hear about the connection between, your experience of the UFO phenomenon and your approach to Chinese traditional culture. What is the connection you see between those two worlds?
Okay, so I'll give you examples. For example, in traditional Chinese culture, there are some traditional Chinese medicine philosophies, and like also in the Taoism, Buddhism, all these are part of traditional Chinese culture. So for example, traditional Chinese medicine, it's like the seven chakra, so it's targeting on the spiritual level of your body, the spiritual body, rather than the physical ones. So as long as you talk about traditional Chinese medicine, you can't get away from spirituality. You have to talk about the reasons behind that, like why you target, something you can't see, like the chi, like the acupuncture on your body. This is not something you can see with your naked eye, but why you are targeting these points. So there's definitely spiritual parts in this. So I'm going to talk about this. And also Chinese government kind of supported this because they wanted Chinese economy to go up, to rise. And also traditional Chinese culture is part of that, including different industries. So when you're talking about traditional Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine industry wants to grow as well. And Chinese government kind of wants to support that, and also culture or any promotions related to that. So as long as you talk about this, you are not only safe, but also you will be more like promoted. There's a possibility for you to be promoted by Chinese government, to be praised by Chinese government. I will give you an example. Have you heard of a very famous internet celebrity from China called Li Ziqi? She's very, very famous on YouTube. Got billions of fans, and also she's commercially very successful. Why? Because she is using, maybe she didn't realize that at first subconsciously, but she is using traditional Chinese culture to promote her IP. You know, she's a very traditional, sort of like Asian time China. She is growing her own vegetables and live her fairy tale lifestyle. And everyone wants that because everyone is living in the city, in the jungle, right? The concrete jungle. And everyone wants to go back to the Asian traditional China, and also respect parents is also very core value in traditional Chinese culture. So she's showing all these things in her video, and she has been highly praised by Chinese government. She is not only famous in on YouTube, but also in China, and that's what gives her success. So that's a good thing because not only she's commercially successful, but also she kind of promoted traditional Chinese culture more. People started to respect what we have as a Chinese, and because before we only respect brands from other countries like Hermes or anything, we don't really respect what we have, and we only chase after things that from Western world, different brands, different lifestyles. So currently there's a trend shifting towards traditional lifestyle, traditional Chinese lifestyle, including different values, including how you target your body physically and how you choose your lifestyle. More people are choosing to go back to the countryside and to grow their own vegetables and to practice qigong, tai chi, or acupuncture, anything traditional. So that's the trend. That's the new like fashion here. So I think she contributed very a large part to that. So that's a very good example how you can use traditional Chinese culture to promote the spirituality part. But people don't realize that maybe, but somehow you can see their spirituality part in traditional Chinese culture, but people don't say that's spiritual, you know? So that's the thing in China.
Mm. Interesting. Okay, so I want to say a couple of things and then I have a question that bounces off what you just said. So first of all, I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm a major fan of hers. I've been following her for years. I think she's amazing. I mean, the first time I ever saw a video of hers, it just struck me right away. The imagery is so gorgeous. The way she creates the videos are so amazing. And what she makes is amazing. But also, it's so obvious that she's paying homage to Chinese historical values, like traditional values, because, for example, she makes a lot of food for her grandmother, who I believe lives with her. She's often seen serving food to her grandmother or making her grandmother a piece of furniture that's going to make her more comfortable or something like that. So there's really this beauty and, abundance. And also there is really a spiritual feel and a feeling of respect and culture and history in her videos. She really is amazing. And actually, I saw the last time I checked out one of her videos, she had over a billion views. I was astounded. Yeah. So it's wonderful that kind of thing has appeal now. So my question is, based on that, do you feel that this longing that Chinese people, this rise in popularity for getting back to basics, would be a Western way of phrasing it, right? Like getting back to roots, getting back to tradition, getting back to the land and living more organically and being able to connect to nature more and that kind of thing. Do you think that feeling that is growing in China right now, that is in any way fueling the UFO phenomenon? Do you think that there's a connection between those two things? Because it seems like the culture is really transforming. The underbelly of China is transforming and changing. So it's very interesting that there's been so much UFO activity in conjunction with that. What would you say about that?
Okay. First of all, if people go back to countryside, they will have more harmony between the land, between nature and the human world. So that's definitely spiritual. And also more people are starting to take meditation. For example, in traditional Chinese culture, for example, in Taoism, Buddhism, whatever, there's a very very major part about meditation. And when people started to do that, it's much easier for them to see UFOs. And I've heard stories about people who practice different like religion, traditional religion. I'm not religious, by the way, but when they practice religions, certain religions, which includes meditation, and self-practice, and later, sooner or later, they will see UFOs. And they will, if you ask them whether you believe in aliens, they will say, yeah, of course. They don't really take that very seriously, actually. They just say, yeah, of course, it's real because it's already in the script, Buddhism scriptures and also other literatures. So they don't really think it's a really weird thing to have UFOs like going around, but maybe they have already seen that. So when you practice certain things, you do take that as for granted. You don't really see that as a very strange, weird thing. Like everyone, when you ask them, they will say, okay, UFO of course exists. So that's how it's related. And also in traditional history, I think in some of the history books in China, there are some stories that are likely to be UFO encounters. For example, I remember I learned this article on my textbook in maybe primary school or high school, I don't remember, but that article is about a guy going accidentally went to some places and found out that place is amazing, like not from other worlds. So that kind of story, actually, I think it's UFO encounters. And when you explain these stories in a UFO disclosure way, it's easier for people to accept that because always, Chinese people are questioning. Some people who don't believe UFOs, they will question why all the UFO encounters happened in the United States or other Western countries.
Yes.
I think they are misunderstanding because not many cases have been reported.
Yes.
But if you mention some cases in ancient textbooks, like ancient alien, we have our ancient alien stories as well. So if you mention that, I think it's easier for people to accept the fact that it not only happened in the United States or other countries, it happened in China as well.
Yes.
There's abundant stories about UFO, possible UFO encounters or contacts in our history books.
So could you, I mean, because in many cultures, this is one of the things that has come up as validation of ufology, right? If that UFOs are real, that in many, many cultures, ancient cultures, there's evidence that people long, long, long ago might have had relationships of some kind with people from other planets, that UFOs would have come to Earth and visited countries all over the world and cultures all over the world that then put images of those experiences into their drawings, into their artwork, into their tapestries, you know, wrote accounts of it and published them or stored them in some way. And of course, these were very, very old, ancient, you know, recordings of these events, but they exist all over the world. It seems to be one of those very common things. And of course, it was dismissed as mythology for an incredibly long time. But now that is that reality is becoming validated, right? The fact that it is a reality. So I want to ask you if you know of any historical examples in China of early contact or, you know, contact a long time ago with UFOs. What is the history, if any, that you know of?
Okay. First of all, when I read Chinese history books, there were like lots of gods, not really necessary gods. Chinese people don't really treat them entirely as gods. We only treat them as like emperors, empress who rule around, you know, who rule China in ancient times. So, but for me, I think the description of them is similar as gods. Like there's one called Nuwa and Fuxi, right? They were considered the ancestors of Chinese people. And when you read their stories, you'll find out that they can fly in the sky. They can do wonders that people can't do. So these things are like gods, and when you explain them in UFO disclosure way, I think they're just aliens. You know, we'll say they are aliens. It's easier for people to accept. But Chinese people don't really worship any gods. They were like godlike people to us, but we only consider them as some fairy tales or like mm-hmm. people. Maybe these are emperors who did great jobs to rule the country. So that's why, you know, people in the later generations, they worship them like God. So that's how Chinese people see these people. So see these ancient figures, famous figures. But I do think it's UFO disclosure. It's related to like aliens, because these people, they just do all the amazing things. And like so many stories about this. And also some of the stories are sounds quite like very high technology stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they use certain things and I don't remember the details, but you know, for example, some like Nuwa or Fuxi, they use certain things or certain knowledge, very ancient secret knowledge to help people to grow their food. There are similar versions of this story in Western world, like promises, like helping humankind to grow their things, like to use fire, to eat like stuff, to eat food when they're burned. So there are similar stories in China as well, and also these stories kind of corroborate the Western version of stories as well. They're quite similar in a way. So, and also Qin Shi Huang, there's an emperor called Qin Shi Huang who ruled seven countries. At first, there were seven countries, and later he kind of unified all the countries together into one. That's the very beginning of China. So that's when China really begins, you know, when everywhere is united together as one kingdom. So that emperor in the history book, I saw a very interesting story about him meeting a very interesting, mysterious flying saucer or something. And there were people who would come out and tell him stories about like they're from another world. So similar story like this can be found in history book, but these are not really covered in our history book. We have to look very carefully and to find out these stories.
Yes, like that's kind of why I wanted to ask you, because I thought if there were any of those stories out there, you would have to dig to be able to find them, that they're certainly not readily available. I think Grant wanted to jump in as well and ask something. Grant, did you want to ask a question?
I would like to know a couple of things to start. One would be, we always do the origin story, why we got involved, why you're in this very sort of weird field. That would be the one question that we could maybe start with is why are you so interested in this field? Have you had experiences? And
Yeah, I'll go into my personal story now. I just growing up like a normal person, and I think it's after 2012, especially in 2014, because back then I was studying in UK for my master program. So before that, I was studying at uni in China, and later for my master program, I went to UK to study translation. So when I was in UK, I started to have some weird experiences, like dreaming out about people I haven't been contacting for a long time. And all of a sudden the next day he will talk to me or she will talk to me. So things like this happened a lot, started to appear. But I didn't really take these experiences very seriously. I think later when I went back to China, started to become a professional interpreter. And I think, I don't remember which year, I think 2017 or 16, I started to have more dreams about future events. At first, I didn't realize that's future. For example, one day I dreamed about my friend, one of my best friends. Yeah, she is a freelancing interpreter. So most of the time she will stay at home. And when she have another like job, she will go outside. So I dreamed about her staying in her home, in her room. And I was visiting her in my dream. And all of a sudden the background changed to a train and she was on a train. So the second day I text her, I told her about my interesting dream. I said, okay, I don't know why I dreamed about you, but all of a sudden the background turned into a train. So she immediately texted me back. She said, yeah, I'm right on a train. Right now I'm on a train. It's like 30 minutes ride. So even the timing of me telling her exactly perfect. And so she finally went outside to get another, you know, gig, like conference gig. So that's very interesting story. So things like this happen a lot. And maybe later there's another dream. Yeah, I dream about me going to a very beautiful small island in Central America. Yeah, I don't know why, because I never wanted to visit there. I know it's beautiful, but I never thought about visiting there. And all of a sudden I dream about this place. So 3 weeks later, and what's interesting that I told my best friend about this dream at first. I don't know why I dream about these weird things all the time. It's so weird. So I have to tell people. And 3 weeks later, I got a phone call telling me, okay, there's another conference or another job opportunity. Would you like to go? So all of a sudden I realized, okay, it's a future event. I have to go there. So follow my timeline. So that's very interesting. And I started to question my reality very seriously. I had a really difficult time. Actually, it's not really that easy for me. I don't have anyone to talk to. So I started to do research online. And I'm very lucky to find out about the conference, you know, related to UFOs. Back then, I didn't really connect all the dots. I just saw there's a UFO conference, Shalma, right? You know her, Shalma. So she kind of sponsored, or she helped a lot during the conference. She's a guest speaker, and also she contributed a lot to the conference herself. So she needed an interpreter and maybe a volunteer, yeah. So I called her. I went to that conference. I interpreted for the first UFO conference, exopolitics conference in China. And finally, I connected all the dots. Oh, I realized it's related to UFOs. And that's all. That's how my ESP experiences are related to the UFOs. I made that connection.
Do you think that your time in the United Kingdom influenced the way you thought? Because if you're coming from a secular society, and you start having these weird dreams when you go back, well, what do you initially think? Because here you know, there's lots of ghost stories. I don't know if there is, maybe you can tell me. Are there ghost stories? Are there people with near-death experience stories and these weird kind of stories like there is in the West? Or how did you deal with this when you got back to this society where really maybe nobody talks about it?
Okay, I think lots of Chinese people, when you ask them whether they believe in ghosts, they will say, yes, of course, there are ghosts. But when you ask them about your aliens or whether aliens are already on Earth, they don't believe that. So it's okay. Like paradox. They will take things differently when, you know, when we say UFO is another thing. So, well, yeah, ghost stories. We have lots of ghost stories. But I think, yeah, going to UK definitely helped me, because when I went to UK, I went to churches. In China, we have churches as well. Well, I have some relatives who are Christians, but I heard of stories that when they are having a private meeting, some police will rush to their house and, you know, tell them to just go away, don't have any meeting, because the government definitely supports you to practice religion, but they don't like you to gather in one place secretly. So that's, you have to take that seriously. But in UK, you can go to churches, even family churches. But I go to a very big one, and also people were very helpful to get me to know anything I want to know. So I asked, for example, I asked a English gentleman, because he's doing business with China, so he's very interested in Chinese culture as well. So I asked him, well, what kind of history books should I read? You know, I know there's definitely something not right in Chinese history book. And he told me nothing's right, not even in the, you know, UK textbook. So you should read Bible or something. Yeah, he told me that. So I started to read Bible and started to do research on spirituality. Even though I didn't have a very clear answer back then, I didn't really became very religious, but I do think there's a very, lots of things are true in the Bible, but I don't really take the whole thing like as true.
Mm. Yeah. Do you feel you're on some sort of mission? Do you feel like you're like synchronicities, that you're sort of being guided to do this? Or do you think this is like just random events where you're sort of tapping into some paranormal aspect of the universe?
Oh, sorry, I don't really quite understand the question. Can you repeat that? Like whether I, the grand picture of the universe?
Yeah, a lot of people you'll talk to in the West, and you'll go through their story, and then you'll say, do you think you're on a mission? They'll say, yeah, I think this is not happening by accident. There is, like, for example, are you being given dreams? Are there beings talking to you to guide you towards doing something? Or is this just a random thing where you're sort of tapping into the universe and picking this stuff up? Do you think you're on a mission in terms of you're supposed to do something here on Earth, or you're supposed to do something? Do you think that's part of your story?
Yeah, right now I definitely think I have the, you know, responsibility to tell people what's going on, because by doing my job, I get to meet people from different industries, and I get to meet people who know certain things. So I feel sometimes I know too much. I have to tell people. But back then, I didn't realize that I'm part of the, you know, UFO disclosure community. I never realized I have a like job to do. I thought I was just a student learning and getting a job and just be a normal person. So back then, I didn't realize I'm part of the whole, you know, storyline. So, and also when I first started to have these weird dreams, I don't really take that very seriously. I thought it's just coincidences. So it just took me several years to finally convince myself, okay, this is real. I have to take that very seriously. Something definitely is going wrong in this world, either with me or either with this world. So it took me a long time to really take that seriously, because Chinese people are very practical. You know, they are busy with studying, working, everything. They only want a good life. So that's very simple for Chinese. Chinese people have a very simple philosophy of, you know, having a good life and don't care about any other things. Wow. So back then, that's how I saw it. I don't have any direct contact with spirits or aliens that will scare me. But I have a best friend. My best friend had a ghost story. I think it's because, you know, in Chinese philosophy, if you are, you know, the yin and the yang, you have to balance that in your body. If you have too much yin energy, you will see ghosts, which means your body is not functioning well. So when people see ghosts, I think that's, there is a reason for my best friend to see the ghost, because, you know, she always workouts and not eating anything. So, you know, when that happened at that time frame, she saw the ghost very frequently. So I told her, you have to quit that, you know, diet thing. You have to eat and, you know, work out when you're eating enough. So I don't have any ghost stories to share, sorry. And for alien contact, I did have a UFO encounter. Yeah, not abduction, just saw UFO in the sky when I was in high school, and everyone saw that as well. When I went back from the high school to my home, and me and my best friend, we were riding bicycles back then, then I saw this giant, it's like a flying saucer, but I don't really see that very clear. It's hiding behind a cloud. It's at night. It's maybe, I remember it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the evening. We went home very late that day. And everyone is looking into the sky. At first, I didn't notice anything wrong, but everyone's looking into the sky. So I looked up as well and saw this thing hiding behind the cloud. There's some bluish light, very not really bright, just some like tiny bluish light, like shining behind the cloud. So, and it's rotating. It's like a very, you know, traditional fan is rotating. Not really that fast, because you can see the basically silhouette of that. You can basically see that. So it's definitely not from Earth, or it's definitely not a plane, because it's hovering in the sky for quite a long time. I think 10 minutes later, we were still on our way, and we look back, looking up into the sky again, it's still there. But it's not really that obvious. You don't see the material. You don't see whether it's silver or not. We just see the light rotating silhouette, and also something definitely behind the cloud stopped there for like 10 minutes at least. So that's my UFO encounter once. During hypnosis later, I recalled one UFO experience as well, but I didn't really believe that. I said something like when I was very little, you know, I grew up in the countryside, so there were some crop fields, like in your picture, crop fields, and I would go there. One day I met this robot-like aliens. Nothing really happened. I think that alien erased my memory. That's what I said during hypnosis, but I don't really believe that. So I think the first case is more like influencing on me, the first case of me seeing that UFO. But I didn't really think much about that, because, you know, I was studying, you know, Chinese people are, you know, have a pressure to study a lot, so Chinese students. So I'm more focused on my studies. So when I went home, I just forgot everything. I don't want to think about that. Yeah, but everything kind of paved the way for me in the future.
Yeah, what were the reactions of the people around you? Like when, you know, because you said that many other people also saw this. So what was the reaction of people around you? How were people responding to seeing this thing? Oh.
Okay, so we were asking each other, what is that? And no one had the answer. So we were just looking at the sky. And, you know, some people say, oh, it could be aliens, you know, but no one had the answer. So we were just looking. And then finally we left. Yeah, wow. We have to do our things. And some people, they were driving cars, and they didn't really see that. They didn't really see what's in the sky, because it wasn't really that obvious. Mm-hmm. You have to look very carefully, because you're hiding behind a cloud, not like other UFO cases, not so obvious like other cases.
Mm-hmm. Also, even though you were very focused on your studies, you still noticed this thing that was hard to notice, but it still stood out to you. That is kind of interesting, that you were not thinking about UFOs. You were not, you know, trying to see one in the sky. You're not focusing on that at all. You just happen to look up, even though you're distracted, even though you're focused on your studies and your own life, there was still something that pulled your perspective up, right? Yeah. So I always find that fascinating, the fact that, you know, a UFO can be hovering in the sky, hundreds of people can see it, and hundreds of other people in exactly the same area have no idea what's going on. They don't see it at all. It's completely imperceptible to them. That's a very fascinating thing. So that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, that, you know, Grant and I talk a lot about consciousness, and a big part of understanding that, or trying to understand that, is talking about perception and how our mind perceives things, right? And the fact that UFOs are very commonly talked about as being solid objects, that they are material. You know, there's a very kind of, the phrase would be nuts and bolts kind of approach to investigating UFOs, which absolutely, of course, has its place, because we want to try to understand their technology. We want to meet them, this kind of thing. But there's another school of thought that UFOs are not solid at all, that they could be all kinds of different things. They could be expressions of our own consciousness. They could be living, breathing organisms themselves. They could be, you know, there's so many different possibilities that I could mention. So what is your personal take on that? What do you think that UFOs actually are? Because you are now, you've been in the field for quite some time. You've met many influential people in Chinese ufology and otherwise, and you've been sort of observing the tide of ufology growing in China. So you must be hearing all kinds of different takes on what the phenomenon is. What is your own personal perspective on what UFOs may be?
Okay. First of all, I would like to share some very exciting, exciting news, maybe, because I've heard from people who know about this and also people who have like contact, direct or non-direct contact with government officials, and they told me that definitely the White Hats are taking control right now. And also I don't really need to have some insiders telling me to know that they are taking control, because when I watch the the galas, the Spring Festival galas or some festival galas in China, which were held by TV stations, I saw UFO images everywhere, and there are people who have been doing this job to collecting these images and videos together and put them online. So maybe later I will share that link to you. So I see signs everywhere without people telling me. I know that it's taking control, and also things are getting better for information to get out. And I think that's why I decided to speak out recently, because before it's not safe to do so. Well, right now it's relatively like a better timing for me to do so.
Because what makes it that way? Can I just ask you, what makes it a safer time for you to be able to do this? Because that's one of the questions that Grant and I are getting from people. How is it that you and Xiao Ma and Zhang Zong, how are they able to speak out at all? Like, how are they able to feel like they can speak and put how do you feel like you can put your face on camera right now? That is one of the things we're curious about. What is it that's okay. Making you feel safer? Mm.
Okay. First, if you are still, if you're using Chinese media platform, it's not really that safe at the moment. Like, relatively safer than the past, but not entirely safe. So that's why we decided to use YouTube, to use Western media to do so first. I personally have a WeChat, WeChat is very popular in China, and also you can set up some official accounts on WeChat. It's like a Facebook page or something. You can post anything you like, and people can subscribe you, follow you. And I have my own social, self-media as well. I have several thousand fans, not many, but the engagement is quite good, because people need information and people need someone to talk to. So I have people telling me stories about their own experiences. And some of them, they had the UFO contact, and some of them have ESP experiences. And I can share one example. One lady, she works for government departments, so she won't come out. So she told me what happened to her. She told me she was the witness. She's the witness of the famous UFO contact. Famous UFO sighting in Hangzhou. Right now, I'm in Hangzhou. This city, same city as her. And she saw that very giant, very bright, there are some lights on the UFO. It's like a very giant ship or something. So that was very famous in China. Happened in 2010 or 11. I don't quite remember. I'll check later. So
that was at the airport?
The airport, that. So the airport is shut down because of this, and the newspapers covered this as well. So that lady is the witness of that. And she told me that's real. That's 100% real. She was so amazed when she saw that thing hovering in the sky, and that she was speechless. So that's how she experienced the whole thing. But she didn't know. She won't come out to say that from cameras, because she worked for governments. And in China, civil servants is the best job. Not necessarily the most well paid, but it's definitely a very stable, secure job. And my parents want me to get one to work at the government. I said no.
That's interesting too.
That's a very good thing to work for governments, but I don't think she will come out because of that. So similar stories, there are lots of stories about this. People had experiences, but they don't feel comfortable. They don't feel comfortable coming out to tell.
Of course, that makes complete sense. So I kind of diverted you from my earlier question, and that's my fault. So I want to bring you back to my earlier question. We're hearing all these stories. This is such a great topic, right? We can go in so many different directions and talk about so many things, but I'm determined to stay focused. So you had mentioned that, but I know about you, that you have been collecting all these stories from people. People feel that they can come to you and share with you what their experiences are, that you are someone that they trust, right? That you are someone who can help them or support them in some way to understand what's going on. So as you're hearing all these different stories, and you yourself have had your own experiences, do you think that UFOs are material, solid, physical things? Or do you think that they are made of consciousness? Do you think that, what do you think that they are? What do you think that they could be? based on what you're hearing.
I think UFOs can be solid and also non-physical as well. Because, okay, before my awakening, I'm a sci-fi fan. I watch lots of sci-fis. And in sci-fi movies, you can see there's a very interesting movie. I don't remember the name. It's called Pacific. And in that movie, there were some soldiers. Soldiers were using their consciousness to control the robot, the giant robot machine. So that's the conscious part in UFOs. Back then, I didn't realize that's UFO technology or alien technology or consciousness technology. But later when I awakened, I realized everything in the sci-fi movies. You know, when I study English, I have to watch, you know, TV series from the Western world. So I watch lots of like Hollywood movies and sci-fis. I realized that they were trying to send a message as well. You can see that information everywhere about UFOs, aliens, and being physical and conscious at the same time. You can see them and sometimes you can't see them, but they are there. It's like Harry Potter, you know, the Hogwarts is there, but some people can't see that. So that's my take on the UFO thing.
Sorry, Grant, go ahead.
If you come to Toronto, you can have a film festival with Sinead. She watches lots of movies too, so she'll lead you through the movie.
Yeah.
you have sort of a technical background. Can you describe I think a lot of the Western people don't really understand the Chinese internet, how it works, that it's not the same thing as, you know, you don't have the Facebook and stuff. Can you describe how big it is? I would imagine there's a lot of people on it, but it doesn't work the same as the West. Can you describe the difference between Chinese internet and the internet in the West?
Yeah, we have this firewall and we have problem logging Facebook and Twitter, maybe Snapchat, I don't know. Yeah, and lots of apps we couldn't really directly access unless we use VPN. But right now, since people are, you know, more Chinese students are going outside their country to study in other countries or working in other countries, so we started to know how to use the internet in a scientific, in Chinese, we call that using internet in a scientific way. So we say that using VPN, if you search on our search engine, like VPN, you won't find any information. But if you search like using internet in a scientific way, you will find some certain apps. So to help you to find information and, you know, access Google. So yeah, more people are starting to know how to use that in a good way to find good quality, real information in other countries. So
are the young people in China moving the society towards Western values and technology? And in terms of technology, I always watch China in terms of the fact that environmentally you seem to be, you know, have a lot more care for the environment. You have these trains, and we just read about, maybe it was even Sinead sent me one with the 600 kilometer and this train that goes. Have you been on any of this very high tech stuff? Because in you see in the United States now, they're trying to pass a bill just to fix bridges and roads. Nothing gets fixed. Nothing. It's got old technology wires. There's no underground cable. This sort of stuff. Where China is sort of ahead. We talk about the young people in China. Where they want things to move. I imagine they respect Chinese culture and Chinese traditions and stuff like that. But because I worked at a University of Manitoba for 40 years, I met a lot of Chinese people. A lot of Chinese students have come here. And so you would take these ideas back, and it's a different society rather than, say, your parents or your grandparents who would never have left China, have no idea what's going on in the outside world. Whereas you've been outside China, a lot of Chinese young people have been outside China, been to the United States, Canada, Great Britain, all over the place. Is there going to be a change in China in terms of the young people? Do they see things a little bit different?
Yeah, of course. And also, you know, when I talk to my parents and, you know, they just watch CCTV, you know, they watch the most official news in China. So it's very hard for them to change their mindset. But for the younger generations, because they know what's going on in the world, they have good English, they have, you know, the language proficiency to know to read information from other countries. So they will take things in a very neutral way. They don't really think you know, something's bad or good or bad. At first, they will do their research. They have more like researchability than their parents. So, and also when people go outside, they will compare like the difference. For example, you mentioned the high speed train. Yes, I took that high speed train like for several, like 10 times a year maybe. So it's very high tech, of course. And I know the difference between different countries as well, because I study language and also I have to learn different cultures. In the United States and other countries, Western countries, they have to get consent from people, and you have to, you know, to submit some like bills and get consent, do some polls, and all the procedures is very, very long procedure. Yeah, so sometimes people have to wait longer. But Chinese government, they have a very good way of dealing with people. So for example, they will pay lots of money to certain, like if your land has been confiscated by or will be confiscated by the government to build some high-speed train routes or something, then they will pay you a lot. So that's how, you know, some of the farmers get rich very quickly because the government paid them. Yeah, so Chinese government has a very good way of dealing with people by whatever way. Yeah, necessary. So I think that's quicker.
That's why. Are you very proud of the Chinese space program in terms of almost competitive with the American on Mars, on the moon? Is that discussed a lot inside China? And are Chinese, I guess, very proud of the fact that they are moving out and doing this kind of stuff?
Yeah, on social media, I saw they are very proud, and also the Chinese official media promoted this heavily. It's on the front line almost every day. It's a trending topics on Weibo almost every day. So people are happy, and the government wanted to promote this, to promote any news related to this as well. So because I really understand, you know, our country needs to be more confident. Our economy is growing for sure, but the government wants people to feel more proud. The government desperately wants to build certain values to boost people's confidence about our country's development. I don't know why, because let me think. Maybe you have, for example, United States, they have, when you think about United States, they have certain values. But Chinese people, Chinese government needed that values, needed to build that values or think about certain values to boost their confidence. They don't have a clear answer now, but maybe patriotism is the one of them. Yeah, I think the answer is that. They want to use that.
Thank you for that. I mean, it's interesting for Grant and I, we are both Canadian, right? So we witness the US militarism and, you know, the militarism of China and Russia, other countries that have really major investment in their military. And it's something that has such an influence on the way people think. It really does make its way down into the sort of cultural mindset and causes people to think a certain way. So as Canadians, I mean, of course, Canada has a sizable military as well, but it's nothing like the United States or China's or Russia's. And we're not typically, as a, you know, a militaristic country, is not, that's not a word that would typically be applied to Canada. So there's a different attitude in this country. And it's interesting how sometimes the politics, you know, using an example such as the military in a certain country, will become infused with the ways of thinking of that culture, right? The ways of thinking of that society in ways that people are not even aware of. And then, of course, it translates into choices and decisions they make. So it's been interesting for us to be watching countries like China and the US respond to the question of, you know, there being extraterrestrials and UFOs, because it's largely been a militaristic response, right? That it's a fear-based thing, that they're coming to attack us. We have to be able to defend ourselves. You know, this is a threat in airspace. There's functional reasons for that. In the US, they've declared it a threat because it gives them more funding to be able to invest in the space programming they're trying to do, and perhaps for other things. So that's kind of leading me to my question. Do you think that China is doing the same thing? And also, what do you think about the recent UAP report that the United States released? You did a video on that recently, or you were going to do a video on that. So I'm curious what your take is. There are a lot of similarities between the Chinese government's response to the possibility of ETs and UFOs and the US's. They're very similar, very militaristic responses. And then there was this US UAP report that really, you know, kind of shed more light on how involved the military is. So what is your what are your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, all the possibility exists in the government. And also there are different forces in the government as well. So for the negative version of ET, you know, agenda, they definitely want some people to, want more Chinese people to support them, to get more funding, you know, to legitimize their endeavor to explore space. That's definitely for real, for sure. But on the other hand, I think there's some good guys in the government who wanted to disclose ETs, because I would like to share this now. Though I made a video already, I would like to share on my YouTube channel as well. But right now I can tell you very exciting news. Like, I think that's a very good sign, you know, because I saw on, you know, Weibo, you know, Chinese microblogging service, sort of like Twitter, I noticed something very interesting related to UAP report released from the United States right before that day of UAP release. Chinese government, not the government, maybe the official news, yeah, China Daily, and also Xinhua News, maybe you have heard of these news agencies. These are the most authoritative news and most official news outlets in China. Definitely government is behind these news outlets. Okay, so these news outlets released certain information about UFOs right before the UAP release. So basically the news is like on that, like that on Weibo, there's a post posted by them saying that some scientists from maybe UK, yeah, it's a Nature magazine, some scientists on Nature magazine mentioned there could be there's a theory about, you know, aliens could be observing, oh no, other civilizations could be observing humankind, observing Earth for a long time. And I think there's a number like 14 or something, 14 galaxies or 14 planets could have been observing Earth for quite a long time. So that theory has been published on Nature magazine. And this news has been reported by the most two official alt news outlets in China on Weibo right before the UAP release. So that sent a very clear signal that Chinese government or some White House, maybe they wanted to release information on UFO, UAP, and they don't want, I think the date of doing so is has a reason, because if they release that after the UAP report, no, Chinese people will say, okay, this is just, you know, America's move on, you know, the capitalism, you know, wants to influence Chinese people on social media. So they send out people to say these things. So, but this time Chinese government wanted to do before the United States, do something before that, so that they will take control. They will take control of the narrative on social media. So I think that's why they posted this right before UAP release from the United States. And when you saw the comments, quite interesting. There are some people saying that we already know enough, please give us more. You don't have to hide anymore. So people are awake, more awakened than I expected as well. So most Chinese people are more awakened than before. And also some people may still have suspicions. They will say, okay, maybe this is because United States are doing the same thing to get more money to fund their military, and Chinese government is doing the same thing. So people are arguing with each other, but definitely I think people are more awakened than before, and they know what is going on. Some people are maybe not, they don't know about the disclosure. They are saying that yeah, of course aliens could be real, because, you know, this is a very large universe. So I think it's a very good sign. And also some people are scared, not because of the aliens, but also because, you know, seeing Chinese official news posting this is more scary than aliens. So what's going on? People are suspecting, you know, why Chinese government is doing this. So that's scary, more scary than aliens.
That's really funny. Grant, is there anything you want to ask, Amy?
I would just point out, I think, and I'd like to ask whether you, the people you talk to that interact with you, whether they see the aliens as more of a mystery, because that's what I found at looking at the Soviet literature, or the Russian literature, is that they look at it like a mystery, like this is mysterious stuff, Whereas in the United States, you're always going to get this sort of a military us versus them spin to it. And I always point out that people will want to always sort of point the finger that China might be behind some of these UFO sightings. That China, I think, only has one base outside of China. The United States has 800 bases outside the United States. The United States is very much into this, we trying to control other countries and this sort of thing. So my question to you would be this idea. Do you think that the Chinese government, number one, or the Chinese people see this as a threat, or do they see it as a mystery, like in terms of maybe a scientific discovery? If we could figure out, you know, what this is, then this would help our technology and make things even better for our people. Or do you have that same sort of spin that you get in the United States that, you know, this has got to be, we're dealing with Mexicans and Russians and Chinese, and now we got these aliens to deal with. And it's always has this sort of a negative spin to it that, we're a victim of a new sort of race.
Negative alien invasion. I don't see that sign very clearly in China, because I'll give you examples in movies and in also some of the, like I mentioned before, on some Chinese traditional festival galas, you will see good signs of ETs. You will see, the setting, the whole setting of the stage is like a UFO. And it's definitely a very positive image, positive information from that, because if they want to paint this as very negative experience, they won't do that on a festival date or on a festival gala or something. So I think the government worldwide has definitely are trying or taking control, maybe, so the more positive messages are coming out. Currently, I don't see any negative messages. I think most of the negative opinions are coming from people, because when people see this information, they will think, okay, it's going to be the end of the world and the aliens are going to invade us. Because, there's a famous author in China called Liu Cixin. He wrote Three Body Problem, and also Obama is a fan of him. So that book talks about possible alien invasion, but it's a sci-fi book. It's not him to be blamed. But some people take that very seriously. They will think, okay, if aliens, when you send that book is about the story where, you send out some guy send a signal to the outer space and alien caught the signal and the aliens came here and wiped out the earth. So basically the story goes like this. And some of his fans really take that seriously as truth. And so whenever you mention aliens, they will say, okay, do not answer. Do not answer the from that book. Do not answer. When you answer, you will be dead. So that most of the people, the negative narrative mostly are coming from people, not from government. That's my opinion. They think too much. The aliens are already here.
Yeah. You mentioned one thing I'd like to pick up on that when I was at university, I studied what was called Kremlinology, which was the study of the Kremlin in the Soviet Union. And I see you're making references to what we used to do. So we would look at, it was like a big chess game where you have to watch what the government's doing, what they're saying. And you mentioned these festivals that you're picking up these clues by watching a festival, that something appears in a festival, like it's indirect thing. We used to say, like in the Soviet Union, that if you got appointed to be the agriculture minister, they were about to dump you, because the agriculture minister always got blamed for everything. So you'd watch the people are shuffling around in the government, what this means. It doesn't mean anything on the surface, but underneath. And you mentioned, so can you elaborate a little bit about this thing where you say, when you see a festival and you see a UFO reference, you know this is coming indirectly from people who have power? Because in the West, I don't think people would understand that. They think it's very direct that they're going to tell you. But there you have, it's almost like you're reading the tea leaves. You can see these things, and that means something that if you weren't Chinese and weren't in that culture, you wouldn't know what that means, having it in a major festival or something like that.
Yeah, on major festivals, Chinese people have this habit of watching this, especially older generations. Right now, younger generations, they think this might be boring or they don't want to watch that. But the majority of Chinese people take that very seriously on Chinese festival. They will gather together with their family members, have some food, have some drink, and watch the evening gala. So that's a very important thing in China. That's why any message you send out by the gala is very important. And you can see, there are some central, galas held by central stations and also local TV stations. And somehow we see UFO everywhere. on like each station. They have UFO settings, stage settings, or, you know, and also there's a very clear sign. You know, I know this singer in China, he's famous in China, and he went to the first UFO conference as well, the one I interpreted for. And at first, he didn't want to come out very, you know, very obvious way to talk about UFOs. But later, I remember he has been appointed as the ambassador for space exploration by one of the most official Chinese organizations. And also on one of the gala, he sang a song. Yeah, he created songs about spirituality in a very obvious way. He will talk about ascension. He will talk about spirituality, and he's like a Pleiadian soul, something like that. It's very obvious. And he sang about the Aquarius Age as well. That song is called Aquarius Age on TV station, on official TV station. I was like amazed, how can that happen? So it's very clear that the environment changed, the situation is better for people to come out. Even him decided to, you know, as a singer, if you do something wrong, you could, you know, endanger your career, but he decided to come out. I think the thing started definitely changing by all these signs. So that's very interesting. Different people from different communities are doing their job in a more obvious way. So I think the situation is definitely looking good.
Wow, that really is very, very interesting. It's fascinating what's happening in China in general right now. There just seem to be so many shifts in the culture and so many changes that are largely to do with the internet and social media, you know, different ways that people have connecting. But there's something I'm dying to ask you about. So when you were translating during the interview that Grant and I did with Jinping Zhang, there was something I wanted to ask him, but we ran out of time and I couldn't ask him. So I had asked you beforehand, you know what I'm going to ask about, don't you? Yes. Okay. So it's about Sang Xing Doi. Okay, which is this, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it properly. It's Sanxingdui. It's a location in Sichuan province in southwest China where some really, I'm probably murdering the pronunciation and I'm so sorry about that. If you can pronounce it properly, that would be great. But it's been the site of some really incredible discoveries for quite a long time. But what is fascinating about it is the fact that it was first discovered in the 1920s, went through some pretty major excavation in the 80s and 90s, most significantly. I think in the 20s, they weren't really ready to do that yet, or there were restrictions on them being able to excavate. So that was a very long, slow kind of process initially. This is what I understand, unless you know differently. And then in the 80s and 90s, there was quite a lot of excavation that was going on, and that has continued over time. But in March 2021, there was a fascinating new discovery that really lit the archaeology world on fire and also the UFO world. But I didn't hear about this. And so I want to ask you about this just to give a little bit more background. The discovery dates from the Bronze Age, which would have been the 12th or 11th centuries, and they're 3,000-year-old artifacts. So one aspect of it is that the items that are found reveal ancient culture that challenges the traditional narrative of Chinese civilization. So you and I were talking earlier about Chinese history and Chinese traditional medicine, traditional culture, you know, the value that and the importance that that has for people. And with this discovery, they're saying that this challenges the traditional narrative of how Chinese civilization has unfolded. So that alone is really, really intriguing. And they're basing that on particularly a gold mask that was found that, and I'm quoting, I'm sorry, I don't remember who I'm quoting. I found this in an article. So I should do better next time to remember the name of the person. But it was a person who said that the mask had inhuman and foreign features of, and also on other finds, there were sort of very foreign, very unique features on these pieces that triggered speculation of an alien race that existed in China back then. So this is just so exciting. You know, these items are unlike anything ever found in China before. And we know that China had an unbelievably rich history and culture. So tons of artifacts have been unearthed over many decades, but nothing ever quite like this. So can you please tell us about this amazing discovery and what you think about all of it, but also maybe touch on the controversy around it as well? That would be terrific.
Oh, Oh, actually, Sinead, I think you know more than I do about sensing. I saw the news on the front line, but I didn't really take that seriously at first because I knew, okay, it's going to be aliens, but I don't care. You know, aliens are everywhere right now. So even in China, nothing so surprising. But yeah, you are right. These are definitely amazing because I saw some photos, very impressive. You know, I think the Chinese government or, you know, some people are behind this trying to condition people for future disclosure, because, you know, like I said, the traditional Chinese culture is easier for people to accept they are aliens, because Chinese people's mindset is very simple. If aliens never visited China, they could never have visited the United States. So if they only visit the United States, that's fake. Okay. So if they are really aliens must have visited everywhere. That's their simple mindset. So you have to tell people there are aliens found in China already, you know, Asian alien story again. So you have to condition people that way, so it's easier for people to accept these stories. I definitely will visit Sanxingdui in the future. I think they will have exhibition for that in Chengdu, right? I think it's in the southwestern part of China, you know, where pandas are from. So I guess Sanxingdui is from there, right? So I'm going definitely going to visit there. So, but not much I know about this Sanxingdui. These are amazing, and also these are definitely not human looking. I don't really take that serious because I'm already part of the community. And for people who are new to this, who are new to aliens concept, alien disclosure, it definitely sparked a conversation among them. On social media, I saw some comments like, yes, they are definitely aliens and they are from outer space. They could be like gods to us and they left us or something like that, some comments. So yes, that's very major. And I think that's definitely a narrative very like released by certain people on purpose to condition people. So I don't really take that seriously. I knew this already before the, you know, the news release. I knew Sanxingdui is definitely not human looking. Not, it could be like alien heritage, alien culture.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being so honest about that, because there definitely was a lot of controversy around it. You know, people saying it was pure gossip and speculation, and other people saying, no, it really is very strange and we can't figure out the origin of these items. So I just love history, and this is just such a fascinating story, you know, whether it has legitimacy or not, partially because, well, no, definitely more if it had legitimacy, but partially because there are discoveries now being made more regularly around the world of things that are slightly unusual or, you know, a lot more challenging to identify. So I'm just fascinated with those stories. So Amy, I just want to ask you one more thing. You were talking earlier about the youth culture in China in response to Grant, asking what the difference could be generationally in terms of people's attitude towards topics like this, right? Paranormal topics. There is a significant difference between the older generation's mindset about it and the younger generation now. So one of the things you were mentioning is that the younger generation has become more adept at learning English. And of course, we should be learning Chinese, right? That's a practical skill that we should be developing also. But in relation to the English language, you are a United Nations trained interpreter, which is quite incredible. Oh. Is that not correct?
I think Shama, yeah, I have to clarify that I'm not really working for United Nations, but I used to work for this company, translation company in China, which is like a contractor of United Nations. So I think Shama sent a message wrong, but I don't blame her actually. I'm not a United Nations interpreter. I used to work for a company that, you know, is a language contractor of United Nations, but mostly they work cooperate on some translation stuff, not really interpreting. And also because of that job, you know, they are that all like translation companies working with some very high level meetings. So I went to different conferences, high level meetings, and interpreting for certain people.
Okay. So it was very actually interesting. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so right now I'm working for like artificial intelligence company in China. They were doing some video like effects using AI, certain things. So I quit that job already. I'm not really a professional interpreter anymore. And also because, you know, after COVID-19, traveling is quite restricted. So I think maybe it's a perfect time for me to change my career. And and also, you know, I had a very interesting job before this one as well. You know, it's lasted like over 1 year, because, you know, one day I was approached by people who were like doing some like business in the crystal business. I thought, okay, maybe this is the only like new age hippie job I can find in China. So I took that job, and at first they hired me as a like live sale host or something. So I tell people stories and to promote the brand. And I meet people, I met interesting people there. I met people who were part of the, not necessarily part of the alien disclosure community, but people who had contact. For example, one day I was doing live, and one of the customer rushed into my live and told me that she has been abducted by a ghost. But I asked her what kind of ghost, and I was so intrigued. But later, she told me it's actually aliens, little gray aliens. So I asked her whether you are like part of the community already. Do you know about alien abduction? Like, you know, grays have been doing experiments for a long time. But she told me she didn't know anything. She's not part of the community. She just, you know, had the first contact experience. She was so terrified. So she wanted to purchase something. You know, we sell metaphysical stuff, that company. So she wanted to purchase something to like guard her of these, you know, negative entities. And she told me the gray grabbed her hand, something like that. So that was an interesting job as well. So I only did that for like 1 year or so also, and changed my job to my current company and position. I'm doing social media and helping them to create some content in English to promote their brand, like yeah, they are AI products. And also I'm kind of intrigued in the AI. So I wanted to know like how long the AI has been going, like in the community, in the business. Not really that perfect AI, but I do think, you know, there are some maybe dark technology we don't know yet. Because I've interpreted for a conference before. I met this gentleman who is doing, I would consider that organization the agent of SHIELD in China. They are doing some experiments on ESP. And he told me that, yes, we have some, you know, scientific statistics about ESP, like telepathy and everything. That organization is directly linked to Tian Xuesheng, who founded, you know, he's the father, who the father of China's space exploration, the missile and everything, and the H-bomb or A-bomb, I don't quite remember. Yeah. He's quite a famous figure, but you know, he's already passed away, but he founded this organization to study, you know, human body and qigong and everything. I didn't really expect this organization to be exist till now, but I met this guy and he told me certain things he was allowed to tell me. So he told me they were doing experiments on this. Yes, these are real, and they have all the video statistics and everything. And I met amazing people, and they told me stories to confirm all these things. So for sure, these are real. Yes.
Well, so it's amazing. I mean, you think you're going into a career doing translation, and then it ends up becoming something else entirely, right? Mm-hmm. But I did want to ask you about your translating the very first ever Chinese ufology conference or UFO conference. That is amazing, because I mean, what a historical event, right? The fact that you were there and you got to witness this and be part of it and also contribute to it. So I wanted to ask you what that experience was like, because it was the first ever conference of this kind in China. And, you know, as we've been talking during this conversation with you, there is a very interesting political climate in China that generally discourages talk about ufology, and I believe labels it as a cult. So how was a conference even able to happen? How was that even possible? And what was it like for you personally to be there and witness this first ever UFO conference in the country?
Sure, thank you. I asked that question at first when I went to that conference, because I didn't really expect this kind of conference can be held in China. So I asked certain people, they told me that there were some good guys behind this. They didn't say much, but I think there are some good people who are behind this conference, but they don't come out. They don't show who they are, but they were just supporting this conference, you know, to let people know the information. I think that conference for me personally was quite challenging, because lots of prominent guest speakers were there, you know, Corey Good and Laura Eisenhower and John D'Souza and Shama as well, the four main. Oh, and Michael Sala, Dr. Michael Sala also, he's quite, you know, studied a lot, and also insiders came to him to disclose anything they know. So loads of information for me to prepare for that conference, because back then I just awakened. I need the answers. Actually, I was there to learn and to learn something from them, not to accept like loads of information and translate them right away. So I was in a shock to find out loads of information I have to know. I was in shock as well to find out quite lots of things I don't know about this world are real. Actually, I watched like Corey Good's Cosmic Disclosure like in UK, back in UK, like several years ago before my awakening, but I didn't really fully believe that until, you know, I fully awakened and realized everything could be real because my ESP experience is related to, you know, UFO disclosure. So everything just made so much sense to me back then during that conference. But after the conference, I heard that police people from the government were there. They watched the whole thing, but they didn't say anything. But later, I think it's 1 week or 1 month later, some people were saying bad things about that conference, about guest speakers. They were posting articles online on Weibo, on different social media, to say bad things, to slander people, slander our guest speakers. So that really scared me a little bit. I think I decided to, you know, not to talk about this publicly until maybe recently. I think it's after COVID. Yeah, when COVID happened, I stayed at home for 1 year, didn't do anything. I just started to write something about UFO disclosure because I didn't have anything else to do back then because of the shutdown. So I started to write back then on my social media about this. It took me like 1 year, 2 years to wait for the timing to do that, because that was so dangerous to just come out and speak, because I saw what they did to these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And I just want to ask you one more time, Grant has a couple of questions for you, but just I would just like to ask you to clarify again, excuse me, for our audience, how is it that you were able to feel safe enough to post about UFOs, about this topic on social media, and, you know, not have this fear of somehow reprisal from the Chinese government? Is it because you are just a citizen on the ground and you're not really a big deal to them kind of thing, or you weren't at the time, now you are becoming more so? Is it simply because of that? Because if you were someone very famous, they might not do anything about it, right? Except gave you a little slap on the wrist. Am I right about that?
Okay, you mean why I feel safe? Actually, I think it's never like 100% safe to do this, but you have to do this. It's my job. And also, I think my profession is translator interpreter. I'm taking a neutral ground here. I'm not any insider. I'm not any spiritual leader. Because in China, if you call yourself a spiritual leader, they will think you are a cult leader, right? So I never call myself like that. I just always say to people that I'm just a translator. I know these things simply because I went to different conferences, meet certain people, and I'm just saying the information they told me. You can discern for yourself. I don't really want to rush people to different worldviews. And I give people time to really take this information slowly. Because some people, when they first are exposed to this information, they will go crazy, or they think you are crazy. So I'm just when I post on social media, I will just tell people that this is what I get from, you know, certain media. I will post the source of the information. I will tell them to discern for yourself. And also something kind of gave me hope to do so as well, because from my information, I cannot say when or where or who did what, because I know more than this, but I couldn't say very detailed information right now. But I can tell you that, you know, Chinese government not only had met certain beings, but also had cooperation with them. And also, and also the white hats are taking control. They have lots of resources to support certain things. So I think I have some people who are doing a lot of things behind. I'm insignificant. I think they are taking much greater risk than I do. Yeah.
Beautiful. You are a wonderful representative of China. The government should be very proud of you. You've represented them very well. I've got a couple of questions. You mentioned Obama a couple of times. Obama's kids learn Chinese, correct?
But I'm not really a fan of him.
Yeah, but I mean, you mentioned him. The other thing is, you mentioned AI. We have a friend that I would probably get him to contact you. He's an AI expert in the United States. He has a podcast. He'd probably love to have you on there. But let's get back to your videos, what you're doing. Can you describe a little bit more about what you're planning to do on your, are you going to have some of these people like with masks on and telling their story, or what are you going to be talking about on your channel? And in terms of what you do, I don't have a huge following here, but I do have some people that watch. So anything you want posted, I will repost your stuff, and you can build sort of an audience here of people who follow you. And hopefully we can, if you keep track of the stuff that's happening in China, you can be sort of like our news reporter from China, and every 3 months or whatever, we can gather with you and you can sort of update us on the latest stuff that you're working on in China, because we'd like to know how we can help you do your job. And so let's go with that. What are you going to be doing on your YouTube channel in terms of subjects and stories, or what are you planning to do?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Very kind of you. Yeah. I'm going to post anything related to, you know, any information on UFO disclosure. And also, I think more is about past, you know, history, because the news are not really that much, just, you know, ancient history in China and what's related to UFO disclosure or UFO contact, possible UFO contact in the past. And also, I will talk about some traditional culture, or maybe something related to Taoism Buddhism, and I will only extract certain things that are related to the spirituality, to UFOs, from these, you know, religions. I'm not going to talk about just religions. I'm going to talk about spirituality or UFO from religions. And also I'll talk about, maybe I'll interview some people as well. If I find the right person, I will interview them, so more people can share their stories. They don't necessarily speak English. They can speak Chinese. I will help translate and add some titles to the videos. Yeah, that's all. And also for the mask. Okay. Yeah. When I go outside, I see people, you know, we have to wear masks when we go into the shopping malls. But when I take the cab or anything, I don't really have to, you know, if I don't wear mask, no one is blaming me. But when I go to the shopping malls, there will be people standing in front of the door and ask you to take the mask unless you won't go inside unless you wear a mask. So that's all.
No, the reason I mentioned masks is, you know, in the early days of ufology in the West, we have basically the same problem as you. I mean, if you have a conference here, you speak here, you're going to have a lot of people saying bad things about you as well. I mean, I think that's human nature, that people want to attack you if you step out with a new idea. But in terms of masks, what we used to do is you'd have people in dark, in backlit, so you couldn't tell who they were. They were anonymous. And we would have to interview people because people didn't want to come forward until the New York Times article. In the West, nobody wanted to talk about UFOs either. So when you interviewed people, you would use an anonymous name. The person, you wouldn't be able to see who they were. It would sort of be wearing a mask or backlit, so you couldn't see their face and stuff like that. That's what I was meaning about, because you have a situation where you have people contacting you with these very bizarre stories that you would like to share with people, but you can't really use people's names. So that's why I was mentioning the thing where you change people's names and you present the stuff. Is there anything we can do to help you get your message out? Because you're one of the few people in China that we're talking to. And I think it's critically important that the United States is only 4% of the population in the world. China is the biggest country with the most people. And I think it's important for people to keep up to date with what's going on in the rest of the world rather than just centering it on one country.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what to do right now except doing like my YouTube video. If you have any other suggestions, yeah, please let me know. And also, if you like to post your videos in China or on social media, I'd definitely love to help that. I don't know whether I think the one of the problems right now, actually, I think I will do in the future is helping more Chinese people to get more information from other countries. For example, they need so much information from like you, and they may need to like watch your video, because you can find loads of videos on YouTube, and also you have done like so many like videos already, and people don't really have access to these materials. I'm thinking about maybe how to do that in a very quick way to help Chinese people to know about, you know, what people done in the Western world about UFO disclosure. But me myself is not enough. I think I need to gather more people to do so. But I don't know what will happen if I really, for example, if I really post your videos on Chinese social media, will Chinese people attack you personally or not? I don't know. So I have to think very seriously before doing so. I have to watch very carefully. And that's the reason why I'm doing only videos on YouTube right now, because in China, it's not really that safe. But now I'm speaking English and on YouTube. So I know there are some people who are watching out for governments in other countries as well. But I think they're more focused on in China, you know, on Chinese KOLs who are doing this. I saw some people who are already posting information on, you know, Bilibili. Have you heard of that? It's for younger generation, that platform. There are some people there posting information about spirituality. It seems they're working, everything's working fine, and they're not like personally endangered or anything. Maybe because they are just started. They just started and not many fans, because when you are reaching like that huge influence like Li Ziqi or that level, there could be some danger for you. So maybe we just started, nothing so serious, nothing so dangerous for us. But maybe in the future, if we want to, you know, make a thing in China to like show more information to Chinese people, we have to really be careful about that. But I really wanted to do that as well, to like show more people to Chinese audience. They desperately need information from other countries, because most of the disclosure it's not from here. It's not from other countries. That's for sure. You can never expect Chinese government or the Chinese people or insider to come out. That's the paradox here. You know, most people who have the most people who have the most legitimate information won't come out. That's the paradox. And people who don't have any like legit information, they will, you know, make a name for them. They will come out and say, okay, I experienced certain things, but actually, I meet people who have suspicious backgrounds as well. So I have to be very careful and to discern who can be trusted. Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Yeah, anything you want in terms of material? We have, do people like the story parts? Because it takes away from the political aspect. I've helped some people publish books in terms of the first woman, the first American to ever encounter the Greys. We did her book. It's a very fascinating story. Is that a touchy issue in terms of someone telling their story? If you were to translate their story, video, interview, would that be accepted where people tell stories? Because it's not a political thing. It's just a person who has an experience. We have some of those stories that you might want to do. But if you have anything, we can work together to try move the ball forward down the field and try to help people, because I think we're doing the same thing as you. It's just we're not in it to make money. We don't charge for anything, and it's just to get the message out. And in terms of criticism, I always say that I never watch the comments, because if you don't watch the comments, you don't really worry about what people are saying. You just speak your truth and put it out there and hope that the right people hear it. And when the time is right, the people will hear it, and the story will start to blossom when it's. Because it may not be the right time for it to be out now. I mean, even here, most people, it's like China. Most people, if you talk to here, they don't care. We think that because UFOs is an important subject, that everybody thinks about it. No, most people are, you know, trying to make their living. They're trying to pay their bills. They're trying to take their kid to soccer practice. They're busy. They really don't care about it. It's an interesting that they might want to hear an interesting story, but they're not really interested in trying to get to the bottom of it. So I think we have the same problems that you have there. So anything we can do to help you, and we'll stay in touch. And some of these stories I think would be very interesting to Chinese people, that they hear these stories, especially the one that we did her book. And I didn't know until a couple months ago, she's the first person ever to encounter the Greys at 12 years old. And her story is very interesting. She documented it herself. She did all the interviews, and she just put these two books out telling her story. So let's stay in touch and go with it and
I've got one question. I've got one fun question for Amy before we say goodbye, if that's okay with you, Grant.
Yeah.
Okay. Amy.
Yeah.
What is your favorite science fiction movie? What is your favorite? About extraterrestrial contact and why?
Oh, I have to really think about it. I have lots of movies. Actually, I wrote an article about a movie called Tomorrowland. It's not really entirely about UFO. You don't really see any aliens inside that movie, but it's a very disclosing movie because in that movie, what's interesting that the female lady found out that the future can be changed by our consciousness.
Okay, because so here, that movie is called Arrival. Arrival.
Another one called Arrival. You like Arrival? Yeah, I like that too because that's about translator as well. So lots of disclosing information from movies, sci-fi. I like them all. Yeah, all the movies. But if I have to pick one, I think Tomorrowland, because that movie has been underrated, I think. When I first watched that, I didn't really fully understand that. But later, I realized that it's about using people's consciousness to change the outcome. To change the future. So at first the male figure tried to change the future. He was chosen, but he failed because he didn't really know what's going on behind the curtain. And the second one is the lady realized that some forces, the movie didn't really say that very obviously. It said that some bad people, they have the technology to broadcast anything negative to people, to humankind. So they control the outcome of future. And that the female figure character realized that and destroyed the tower, destroyed the satellite towers, and people get freed and the future has been changed to a better one. So that's very disclosing. It's not even about UFOs, it's about like consciousness. I think this is more important than the UFO itself. But about aliens, Arrival, definitely, that's very disclosing as well. And also it's about future as well, how time is not non-linear, right? Time is not linear. Yeah, that's very interesting.
I love that movie also. And the part of the reason why I asked you is because you mentioned earlier that you love science fiction films. Grant does not watch movies. And so I'm always trying to peer pressure him into watching something that will, just give him a snapshot of how extraterrestrials are being portrayed to the public. There is, because I agree with you, this messaging comes through in so many different ways, right? The ways in which we are controlled kind of, and the truth is kept from us, and things are not revealed to the public that the government does know about, and that's partially done through messaging such as in films. But we really do want to support you. Going back to what Grant was talking about, we really do want to support you and your work and help you in any way that we can. So by all means, stay in touch and we will support you in any way that we can. Yeah, just more of the same.
Thank you. Yeah, and Grant, I do suggest you to watch movies, sci-fi movies, because how I know about the Galactic Federation worlds, because I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, in that TV, it's not a movie, TV series, it's Marvel, right? And in that TV series, they talk about Galactic Federation worlds right before, way before the disclosure by the former Israeli head talked about this. So it's very interesting. Sci-fi movies reveal a lot about this.
I agree. Yeah, I so agree. I'm trying my best to force Grant to watch The Matrix. He's not going to do that by himself, though. I'm going to have to make him sit down and watch it. But that's one of those other movies that, talks about consciousness, the power of the mind and perception, and the choices that we can make to free ourselves up. So, you are playing a very important part in that, by spreading this information and being there for people to come to with their stories, so that they're coming to somebody that they feel like they can trust, who can actually help them. And Grant knows better than anybody I've met so far what a precious role and position that is to be in, to be able to do that for people, to be able to just listen and validate people's experiences and say, you're not alone, you're not crazy, this is real. And, there are other people out there like you. That's one of the things that he has really made a priority in his work, is just supporting the average person who has needed to share their story. So I really admire that you are also doing that. You're not in it trying to make $1 million. You're in it to contribute to the community and try to help people in their journey, which seems to be becoming more and more of a global thing. There are more people all over the world who are connecting on this topic. So it's just a really incredible thing to be part of. And, thank you so much for your role in it all. It is very precious and very important. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here. my so you, first meeting about this.
It's great.
Sinead has got me going now on movies. I don't know about movies, but I know stories about movies. For example, you're talking about the movie Arrival and the interpreter. Do you know that the interpreter is actually based on a professor at the University of Manitoba, where I spent 40 years? Now, that's one. Other one, we did an interview, and we've had, I guess we've probably done a couple of these where we interviewed Psychology Today. What's her name?
The girl with the kaleidoscope eyes, Maureen Seberg.
Maureen Seberg. Yes. And she told us the story. I don't know if Amy knows this story. She interviewed Steven Spielberg's mother. And she said that Steven Spielberg's mother had told her the story of E.T. hiding in the closet. Have you seen E.T., I assume? E.T.'s hiding in the closet with the stuffed toys. She said that story's true. Stephen told me that story and indicated that Stephen had indicated that was part of a true story. And this is this idea that they stick things into movies that are real in fact, I was given some offers to get involved in kind of this stuff, but I'm not into, you know, being in front of a camera, but that's an interesting thing. We'll have to have a session on movies sometime. So one last question and then we'll shut it down, because you asked a fun question. I'd like to ask a fun question now too. And that is, what's your favorite sighting being in China that you would find as being the story that you think is the most interesting UFO story you've heard?
Oh, I have to say, I didn't really hear much stories about sightings, because, you know, there are, the information is quite restricted. Not many can be.
But anywhere in the world, because you talked about the Chinese one in the airport, which would be the biggest Chinese one. But in terms of like an American story where people are all talking about it, you know, is the big story that sort of you will read about anytime an article comes out and you want to update yourself on information about, whether it's Travis Walton or whether it's the blue avians, or what story has really piqued your interest where you went, oh, this is a really interesting story?
Oh, I remember one. I think Mr. Zhang was going to talk about this. It's Mr. Meng Zhaoguo, you know, in China. It has been covered by a CCTV national station as well, because it's like a farmer or people who live in the countryside. You know, that guy didn't really went outside his village in his entire life. And all of a sudden, one day has been like carried by one, you know, alien. Yeah, it could be alien male or female, I don't quite remember. Anyway, he made like thousands of miles away from his hometown and ended up somewhere in maybe Shanghai or other places. And that story has been covered so many times by national TV stations. I think that definitely left an impression on me. And the program is called Going into Science, something like that. It's very funny. That TV series is all about disclosing, finding out the truth behind any mystery. But they always end up saying, okay, it's some mystery we could never find out. Or they always try to find some so-called scientific, you know, conclusions to that. Like it could be the mind tricks, or it could be the visual distortion or anything. They always try to find some scientific conclusions to explain that, but we know this is not that simple. So that show is very interesting, and also that incident, that the experience is really left an impression on me. When I was little, I watched that TV already. I watched that show, so really left an impression on me and on other people as well. That's a very major one. Direct contact with aliens. So I don't know how the aliens carry him, like by aircraft or by anything, I don't quite remember. Yeah, just carry him like when thousand miles away from his hometown. And that guy never made outside his village. And he didn't, you know, have the ability to explain what happened. Also, the police found out he was, lost on the streets in Shanghai or any other cities. And the police couldn't explain why this guy like is here, because, you know, like yesterday his family member saw him and the second day he's in Shanghai. So there are people to who can corroborate that, and but they couldn't explain what really happened.
Beautiful. Okay, we'll leave it at that. We'll have maybe another session a couple months down the road. You can update us on the latest in China. And I really appreciate your translating for us, for doing the interview. And it's been an honor to talk to you. And you're one of the forerunners in China to start moving this story into the world, to tell China's part of the UFO story. So thank you very much for joining us. And hopefully we can do it again in a couple of months.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Say bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.